I'm glad to be able to talk to you by phone. You know, there's one thing that's for sure, and that is the blessings of God. There might be a lot of things in life that's not certain, but the blessings of God are for sure. Promises of God are yea and amen. The Bible said all of the promises of God are yea and amen. And this is the thing that makes life so wonderful in serving God, is that whereas there is nothing that's certain in life, all things are uncertain. You're not sure of anything, and no matter what you go to do, whether it's buy a home or a car or have a job, employment, whatever it is, you know, you can't be sure of anything in life because something can vary one way or another. But the Bible says with God there's no variableness. There's no shadow or point of turning. And when the Lord says something, he does not change it. And the good part about what God has to say is he said in his word that what I say to one, I say that to all. And that he sends his love and his mercy upon all, even the tare. They get the mercies of God as well as the wheat. And so then God is so certain in everything that he does. It is a certainty that what God has said, he will do exactly that. He said, my word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that that I please, and shall prosper in that whereunto I have sent it. I will watch over my word and hasten to perform it. And the promises of God, as I said, are yea and amen. And then the Bible tells us that God has given us all things that pertain unto life through the great and mighty promises of the Bible. He has given us a promise of life. He has given us a promise of consolation. He has sent the mighty Holy Ghost as a comforter in the time of problems and trouble. The Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of Christ, will actually comfort you and keep you during the time of problems. The Bible said he will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. David of old said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. For he is the God that forgiveth all of mine iniquities and healeth all of my diseases. So then what God has said, he says to all, we are not deserving of the promises of God. Sometimes the devil really puts us under pressure as to make us to wonder in the uncertainty of our mind as to whether or not we are eligible for the blessings of God. And because of this, then it hinders faith, because faith has to be in the affirmative. So then it causes us to have problems with this feeling and thinking of uncertainty. But we can be certain that what God has said, he will do. We don't have to wonder about whether or not God will do it. He promised to do it, and he will do it. And the Bible said concerning Abraham of old that he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, that he was able also to perform. And so then the promise came to pass exactly the way that God had promised to Abraham, who of course is called the father of the faithful, whose children you are, in that it is said, Abraham, in thy seed shall all nations be blessed. So we're heirs and fellow heirs with the Jews and partakers of the benefits of the Jews who were called the children of Abraham. You know, and in this uncertainty that Satan creates in our mind, it causes us to misconstrue the will of God. It makes us to wonder what the will of God is for our life, because in the flesh there is no good thing. To will is present, but how to perform that which is good, Paul said, I find not. And when I would do good, I find the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Well, that is, within my flesh there's a standing thing that is always contrary to my inner desire, which is Christ on the inside of my heart. And this outward conflict of my human senses, you know, what we refer to as the creature being subject to vanity, these things cause a conflict. So the Bible tells us to abstain from fleshly desire or fleshly lust that warreth against the soul, and not to grieve the great Holy Spirit, which has sealed us inwardly unto the day of the change or the redemption of the body. So then, it is a true fact that we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Being born of God, he that is born of God cannot sin, for he is sealed in by the wonderful things of God. So then we find that because of this, having this security, this inward security, it wars against the uncertainty of the outer man. But that conflict of uncertainty is a derivative from that which makes war in our members. The war is continually there. You know, I think about the wars across the world, and I think about people who are seeking to bring peace, whereas that could never be. Though people strive to bring peace, and they make all kind of arrangements for peace and go from country to country, they convene in meetings trying to bring peace, which the Bible said they would do in the latter days. But there is no peace to the wicked. The wicked are always like the troubled waters, casting up their mire upon the shore. It's a continual problem with them. There is no peace to them. And when it comes to wars, the Bible said, from whence cometh wars? Is it not from the lust that warreth in your members? Ye desire and have not, because you ask not. You try to obtain unto this thing, but you seek it for your own personal use, or to consume it upon your own human desire, as allowing Satan to take the advantage in your life. And because of this, then Satan gets the upper hand. The sentence of death is in the body. Therefore, the body must die. It must go to Calvary. And unless you can come to the place to reckon that body to be dead indeed by Calvary and alive through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For this thing is by faith. It is by faith, not your faith, but by faith of Jesus Christ, even the righteousness of God. And the Bible speaks of this faith, telling us to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, which is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to have this faith, you must have the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the word of the Lord Jesus Christ is your thinking rather than your thoughts. And in doing this, then you can pray the prayer of faith. I say this a lot of times, and I say it again to you tonight. I hear people a lot of times disputing the scripture, and they say, well, Brother Pike, the Bible says to pray for the sick and they'd be healed. And so then we prayed for the sick, but the sick did not get healed. And I prayed for my mother, or I prayed for my loved one, and they did not get healed. What then is the problem, Brother Pike? If he did not heal that one that I prayed for, then why would I expect him to heal someone else? And so they get uncertain in their mind, and they get confused. And that evil power that creates the uncertainty hath killed their faith and caused them to cast away the faith that had great recompense and reward, and caused them to lose their shield of faith. And the reason was, the Bible said, my people perish from the lack of knowledge. And the reason was is because they misconstrued the scripture. They did not give the more earnest heed to the things that they heard, and they did not take heed how that they heard those things. Had they given more heed, they would have listened very thoroughly, very carefully to what had been said by the minister or God, and they would have taken heed for what reason they were trying to receive that. It's not to misconstrue it. That is not for personal advantages, not out of envy and strife to war with somebody, or to be vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind to know something, or to misuse it for some personal reason. And so then, when you think of that, the problem is not God. The problem is not that there's a breach of his word. Someone would say, well, then what is the problem if they prayed and the Bible said it would happen and it didn't happen? First of all, it is a misconstrued thinking and misconstrued understanding. The Bible didn't say that. And that's where the wrong is. The Bible didn't say that. What the Bible said was, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if they have committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them. Even if you call together the elders of the church, anoint them with oil as to the people that are sick, lay hands on them, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So it's not a matter of praying for the sick. you might pray for the sick from now on and they not get healed. 100,000 people might pray for them and they not get healed. But one person that might be supposedly a nobody will come by and offer faith to God in the behalf of a sick person, and that prayer of faith will save the sick, and God will relieve them of their sins as well. So then, it is a misconstrued thing. See, not properly understanding the Scripture, then we cannot properly believe, because faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. But to have wisdom, and with wisdom get understanding, Solomon said. There's one spirit, but there are many operations. And when we learn to do this, when we learn to believe the way that God tells us to believe, mixing humility, that humility might go before honor, then we get rid of haughtiness, which goes before a fall, and we get rid of pride, which is a forerunner of destruction. And we begin to humble our hearts under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt us in due season. So then we see that the misconstrued things that we hear or accept as being God's word, this is where Satan causes the uncertainty. Satan is quite a Bible scholar, and he quoted the Scripture to Jesus, and he seems to be accurate in his quotations, but in his understanding, he is void of understanding. And so then the Bible said, the wicked shall not understand. They can be Bible scholars, they can be religious, they can go to church, they can contribute, they can do all kinds of things, have social benefits and formalities, but still not understand. The Jews had the law. Paul said, you have it and none of you keep it. That is, no matter what you say, that doesn't do you any good. The child is known by his doings. Paul said, I am blameless touching the law. He said, you have the law and none of you keep it. But he said, to begin with, there is no justification for anyone by the law, because no flesh shall be justified by the law, for by the law is the knowledge of sin, and from sin comes the transgression as death. And so then we've got to go back to the word of faith. God has given us a word of faith. It is God's will for you to be healthy and happy. It is God's will for you to be strong. It is God's will that you fulfill the number of your years. For the Bible said, I will fulfill the number of your years. I will bring you to a full shop. And so it is not God's will for you to die to begin with. It is not God's will for you to be sick to begin with. It is not God's will for you to be in poverty to begin with. And the thing that we should remember is all of the promises of God are contrary to that. And the Lord Jesus, who took our sins and paid the price of sin, came to Calvary to take away the curse and to bear our reproach, that we might not have to pay the price for those sins of error that we got into when we were in the condition of not knowing. And where there's no knowledge of sin, sin is not imputed, and there's a blood atonement for it. But, beloved friend, when you come to the knowledge of sin, then sin is imputed, it is required of you, and God will make you pay for it, because there is no atonement. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin when you come to the knowledge. For the sacrifice of Christ Jesus placed on the seat of mercy is strictly for people that do not know, and to give people a chance to come to an understanding and repent of their sins, that they might turn to God and begin to make their lives conform to the way of God. And this thing of being evasive and going on and saying, well, I believe, is just foolishness. There is no such thing as believing and not doing what God tells us. Faith without works is dead, and the works that you have to have is the works of Jesus Christ. And the only way that you can have the benefits of the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that Paul said, there is no performance in the flesh as to righteous things, the only way you can have it is that you have the faith of Jesus Christ through the atonement of Jesus Christ, and then the works are credited to you as to your believing, and your faith thus becomes living and alive and becomes the faith of Jesus Christ. You know, it's necessary to begin with to hear the word. He that God sendeth will speak God's word, and faith cometh by the word of God, and salvation comes through faith, and the word comes from a minister. How shall he preach, lest he be sent? So then, the first thing that you need to do is pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation or understanding of the word. Seek understanding and wisdom. Call it your kinsman. Go after it more than silver and gold. It brings riches, and it brings long life, and it brings health, and it brings happiness. And remember Noah in Noah's day? Noah got a revelation. And the revelation was that God was going to destroy the entire world. But not only did he get a revelation, he had faith in the revelation. And not only did he have faith in the revelation, he put his works with his faith by building the ark, and thus the ark became the means of salvation that saved the entire world and gave us a new start. Had it not been for the act of Noah, there'd be no me and you today and no generations today. So then you need a revelation, the right understanding, not to misconstrue the word. And then once you get the true word of God as a revelation from God, then the next thing that you need to do is have faith in the word of God. And then once you get faith in the word of God, the next thing you need to do is bring about the works that he's requiring of you according to his desire and promise, even as he committed that trust to Noah, that you might do exactly what he wants you to do. And as Jesus said, I do always the things that please my Father. The Bible speaks of Enoch, and it says concerning Enoch as it brings him over to the teachings of the New Testament, speaking of him as the act of faith, saying that he was translated by faith that he should not see death, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, for God is a God of faith. He challenges you to the wonderful riches of heaven, the true riches, by faith in God. And unless we can have faith in God, then we don't have anything. You know, God has placed his whole being on the power of faith, or in the hands of faith. And he has said unto you and I, according to your faith, what is my will for your life? The uncertainty that we have within our minds always makes us to wonder about the will of God. Having been interwoven with the wrong thing through the fall, as in Adam all die, no good thing within the flesh, all flesh having corrupted its way before God, the uncertainty still prevails in a continual warfare. So then it's always the question, what is the will of God for my life? And how do I know that thus would be the will of God for my life? But remember, God's word is his will, for God is the word, the same to 1,000 generations. He spoke the world into existence by his word. He sent his word and healed them. His word cast out the unclean spirits. His word became a human personification to bring deliverance and went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil. And so then, his word is his will. And his will was embodiment in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that will went to Calvary, as to his will, took the blood out of his veins and suffered and was delivered for your offenses and was raised again for your justification. He went and bled, he went and was beat at the whipping post, and he went to Calvary to say, you offended, but I'm paying for it. I'm paying because I created you. I subjected the creature to vanity. I'm taking the whole thing upon me. Now, I've been delivered for your offenses, and you are now free by what I have done. Now, you must believe in it to escape the evils of Lucifer. Now, in doing this, as the serpent was hanging up in the wilderness, so was Jesus, that we might look upon this brazen one whom the serpents could not penetrate, that we might be free from the evil spirits. And so then in doing this, we are buried with him in baptism, raised again by faith unto a justification. For he said, now I have risen for your justification. This proves that death is conquered, and that now man is no longer under the constraint of death, but he is now free and justified in the sight of God. The proof of it is that he hath brought forth a human body, the first brother among many brethren, or the beginning of the new creation of God. Old things have passed away, former things are not to be remembered, and now you are a new creature in a new world. so, then that means that death is swallowed up in victory, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith, in what he hath done for you. So then we know that he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And then he sent his spirit into our heart, into our spirit, to become interwoven as the safeguard to guard us against evil and to seal us unto the day of the change or the redemption of the body, which change seems to be close at hand. And by this, there's a transformation of mind as from glory to glory as we continue to make this change down through the church ages while the blood is yet on the mercy seat, giving us an opportunity to do this. And at the same time, that means that the tare is also getting the benefit, and the people that have the opportunity to repent of their sins is now doing the mercy period. For when the blood comes off of the mercy seat, there'll be no more mercy. There'll be no more repentance. There'll be nobody coming to Christ. It'll all be over. But the church then will have finished its course, and God will call them out from among the world as in the chains. And when he does this, there'll be nothing else left. And the beast is kingdom of those that were not born again, that came through the fall of Adam and the beast, as in Adam all died, and that means that they will gnaw their tongues for pain. Remember, sin and death brought the curse, and sin of one man brought the curse and death upon all men, in that Adam sinned and all are born of Adam. But remember, we are born of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the beginning of the creation of God, the second man Adam, and if by sin our death came, and by one man sin into the world over all people, then it's very obvious that by one man comes righteousness, and from that righteousness comes life eternal and justification from sin. So as one sinned and brought us unto death, one has lived right and brought us unto life. It is not necessary except for that one that sinned to do that, and necessary for that one that lived right to do that, and that makes us all righteous, even as it did all sinners under the first man. So then the tare gets the benefit while the blood is on the seat of atonement, for Jesus took away the sins of the world as pertaining to the creature, that the creature by the body of the Jews, or as Jesus, who was born among the Jews, might be dead in the sight of God, and God would not charge anything to the body until after the church ages when the blood is lifted. And during that period of time, we have a chance to get the infilling of the Spirit, the transformation of the mind, the Spirit translated into the kingdom of God, and then coming to the change, once we come to the change, as to the Jews coming in as to be born as a nation, and the redemption of the body. All of a sudden, when this comes about, the blood comes off of the mercy seat, Revelation 12, the war in heaven, Lucifer goes out, showing the blood coming off, for the red dragon is cast out, meaning no more blood life will be coming into the presence of God or can be in heaven. And so then, when this happens, it indicates that the mercy is no more, and then that means that we will have already finished our course and made the change. It won't be necessary for any rain to come down on the body, as it was in the beginning of the garden when the mist came up from the earth and watered, so will God water us from inside. For there shall be a fountain that shall come forth in the house of David. For out of your innermost beings shall flow rivers of living water, and we'll draw the water out of the wells of salvation with this joy. So that means that the deep is calling unto the deep at the water spout of God, and the salvation of God is there, for ye are wells of salvation. Well, it's good to talk with you just a little bit and talk about the will of God, and I always enjoy it, and I don't seek to hold you real long. I could go on and go on, because with me, it's just such a wonderful thing in my heart as to the glories of God and his wonderful knowledge. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord be with you, and we'll be able to talk with you next time.